The one church is in the will of God. The one church is in the will of God. God planned it long ago. It is a part of his will that we have only one body. One church is in the will of God. We want to bring that truth out clearly tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Now pay attention to that "us." Because what you find happened, he was writing to the church in Ephesus. These were Gentiles, you know. And he's saying to them that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, the church has been in God's mind before the foundation of the world, Earl. Before the foundation of the world. Because verse 4 says, "According as he had chosen us in him." He has chosen what? He has chosen us in him. Has he chosen us within in him in different churches? No. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Christ and God has chosen us. We are special people. We were chosen before the foundation of the world. He goes on to say, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according," listen to this now, "according to the good pleasure of his" what? "Of his will." According to the good pleasure of his will. So we know that God had this plan long ago, don't we? We know that he had the plan long time. It is in his will that we would be adopted, that we would have been predestined to be called the children of God. It's in his will. It's not in, so that is why, you know, when we talk to people, you know, Sister Cheryl, about the one church, the one true church, it's not any little thing we're talking about, you know. It's not just any topic we're talking about, you know, Vivian. We're talking about something that God had in his mind long ago, before the foundation of the world, that he's going to bring everybody into one fold. Remember this morning? Everybody is going to come under the one church. Verse 9, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his" what? "Of his will." His will was to bring the Gentiles and the Jews into one body. And he has made it known now, Brother Bede. He has made it known now the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Let us look at chapter 2 now and verse 14. "For God, he is our peace, who had made both" what? "Both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now, if God has broken down two things to make it into one, Brother Bean, let's be logical now. God has broken down two. God did not see that the two things were good. In his will, he only wanted one. All mankind was going to become into that one body to serve him, to be righteous to him, to be faithful to him in one body. So he broke it down, Sister Cheryl. No, Sister Cheryl, you tell me now. As he broken it down to build 500 different churches? Talk to me, church. Is it broken down? Is it in his will to have 500 different churches? or teaching different things, it cannot be in his will, because God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of confusion. So he cannot break down something to build one and then go around again now and be okay with 500. That just doesn't make any sense. And he has planned this long before the foundation of the world. Now, look at 16, chapter 2, verse 16. And that he might reconcile. Reconcile means bring back to himself, Brother B. He's going to reconcile these people. He's going to reconcile what? Look at it, Brother Rakwai. What do you have there? He's going to reconcile what? You found it?
Yes.
Read.
And that he might reconcile them both.
I like what I put it. He's going to reconcile them, and then it tells you, both. Who are the both? The Jews and the Gentiles. He's going to reconcile them both. Continue.
To God in one body.
In how many bodies?
In one body.
That is the will of God. And he revealed his will to us in the scriptures. So we can't just look around and say, okay, we are going to be looking. We're going to just use our own eyes and look, brother, and see how many churches we have and say it is fine. It is not fine, because Christ says here he's going to reconcile both unto God in one body by the what?
Through the cross.
Stop. A man can't just start a church, so. That's why Brother Mitchell always say, he always call it man-made church. You know why we call it man-made church? It don't have no divinity in it at all. They just start something. But the church of Christ took Christ's life on the cross. That is a founder. It came through the cross. Look at it again. And that he might reconcile them both unto God in one body. By the what? By the cross. Amen. It took the cross, it took the life of Christ to establish a spiritual body called the church. So when somebody said them start a church and they call it Holy Deliverance Center, they have no clue as to what the church meant. For God, they have no clue. Because you can't just start a church so and call it any name. And say it was started in 1930 or 1940, and you are the founder. You are a man. You can't found the church. You can't be the founder of the church. You're not called the Son of God. It's only Son of God could start the church by his death on the cross. And that he might reconcile them both unto God in one body by the cross. Having slain the enmity thereby. The one church is inside the will of God. You cannot separate the will of God from the one church. Denominationalism is not in the will of God. It's just the one church that is in the will of God. You know how we know further that it's in the will of God? Christ's prayer himself. The prayer of Christ himself in John, everybody turn to it. John chapter 17 and verse 22. The one church is a part of the will of God. When you're teaching people, don't just tell them that there's one true church. Show them that the one church comes from the mind of God. It reflects the thinking and the will of God. Listen to Christ's prayer. This is Christ's earnest prayer. John 7:22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be what? Everybody have it? They may be what, reader?
That they may be one.
Stop. They may be what? One. But it won't stop in them. You won't stop right there. So if you're teaching somebody, don't stop right there. Because the verse won't stop. What it goes on to say?
Just as we are one.
You don't want anything more than that. The people must be one, Cheryl. Just as the divinity is one with me. even as we are one. Just as we are one, they are going to be one. So when you start a church on your own and just call it any or any name and say, claim that you are the founder, you are showing ignorance of what the Bible revealed to be the church. Because the church is not any or anything. It reflects the will of God. It's coming from the mind of God. He planned it before the foundation of the world, that he might bring the Jews and Gentiles into one church. He struck Paul on the road to Damascus with blindness because he made Paul a minister to the Gentiles to fulfill that mission. So there's one church. Christ prayed for it. And Christ is saying that the divinity is one, even as we are one. Now, I have proven it, that it is the will of God. When you're teaching the people, you take them to Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, and 5, to show them that this will of God existed before the foundation of the world. You go back, you go further, the same book, the same Ephesians, and you show them in chapter 2, verse 14, that as the mystery is unraveled, as God made the mystery known unto us, we now know that he wants the both worlds, the Jews and the Gentile, to be one. He broke down the middle wall of partition to make one. And he did that because he wants to reconcile both of them in one body. And this one body don't just come cheaply. It don't come cheaply. It comes by the cross. Because it took the life of Christ to establish it. You'll soon see that later on though. Christ himself says that he wants us to be one, even as he and his Father are one. It's from the will of God, Brother Peart. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep. Everybody turn to it for me. We spoke about that this morning also at length. But you know, when something is good, Brother Bean, and we want people to remember it, as a teacher, I always say, you have to talk about it over and over. Repetition. So it gets into our head and hearts. John 10, 16. And other sheep I have. I didn't have much time to really get into it this morning. I'm going to get into it tonight. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. And you know, as I talk about it, Brother Peart, you know, Sadina, I'm not sure people use this passage. You know how they use it? And they show it, it just shows ignorance. They use this passage out of context. And they use this passage to say, okay, you are saying you have the one true church. That's fine. But Christ has sheep everywhere in all churches. That's not what this passage is talking about. You have to bear in mind that the world that Christ came into was a world of Jews and Gentiles. That's what he's talking about. And then he didn't say other sheep I have, and I got to make them stay there. That's not what he says, you know. He didn't say, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and they can stay in their fold. He did not say that. He did not say that, Brother B. He didn't say, other sheep I have, they are not of this fold, but they are okay. They are safe wherever they are. He did not say that. What did he say? He said, everybody turn your Bibles. Everybody turn your Bible. John 10, 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and them also I must what? Bring. I must what?
I must bring.
I must bring. I must bring. I'm going to bring them, and they shall, before they become one fold, Brother Peart, something going to happen. He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. But they cannot be the one fooled by the Earl until something happens. Something is going to happen before they become one fold. This is the way that I ask you what it is. So you're looking at it like you know what it is. Something is going to happen to them before they can become the one fold. What is that thing? I must bring. Listen, see the thing here? And they shall hear my what? Voice. That's the will, you know. It's only when they hear his voice, not the voice of any and any man. Not the voice of a founder of a church. Just come up all of a sudden, he's a human being like us and him same start a church. I don't see how that is possible. But we can't listen to the voice of just another person. These people that Christ is going to bring, they are going to hear his voice. They are going to listen to his voice. And his voice is all in the scriptures. It's when they hear his voice that they become the one fold. If you don't hear his voice, can you become the one fold? If you don't hear his voice, what are you going to have instead? If you don't hear his voice, you're going to have this instead. Baptist Church. Because you're hearing another voice. You're going to have Anglican Church. Because you're listening to another voice. You're going to have Catholic Church because you're listening to another voice. You're going to have Pentecostal Church because you're listening to another voice. Other voices bring about division. The one voice brings the one fold. That's what we have to teach them. Man, lady, sir, you want to serve God? You have to listen to Christ's voice and Christ's voice alone, because it says my voice. The CMA says my church, the church belongs to him. My voice, that voice belongs to him and no one else. I couldn't elaborate on that this morning, so I want to elaborate on it tonight. I must bring. So they want to use that to say denomination. It is completely wrong. They can't use that to say denomination, because if they were listening to his voice, you can't have these things. If you listen to his voice and his voice alone, his voice cannot produce confusion. So his voice cannot produce Pentecostal. His voice cannot produce Catholic, his voice cannot produce Seventh-day Adventist. His voice cannot produce Seventh-day Adventist Baptist. You have that too, you know. His voice cannot produce Lutheran. His voice cannot produce Mormonism. His voice produced the Church of Christ, the church that belongs to him, the one church. That's how they become a part of the fold. That's how they become a part of the fold. Look at everybody, turn your Bible. Turn to John 10:16. Other sheep I have. That was the Gentiles, you know, which are not of this fold. Them also I must what? Bring. And they shall hear my voice. It's when they hear the voice, you know. And after that, no, there shall be one what? One fold. One church. And does this church have many founders, by the way? Read it, okay. What it says again. Read from I must, and they shall hear my voice. Pick up from there. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be what? One fold and one what? One shepherd. One head. Not two heads. Not the Pope and Christ. Not the head of the Anglican and Christ. What the lady name again for the Adventist? Not even she and Christ. Ellen G. White. No Ellen G. White and Christ. It's just Christ. Because you're hearing his voice. The voice belongs to him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The one church is in the will of God. The one church is a part of the will of God. Anytime there's a suggestion of any rivalry, anytime there is any suggestion of any rivalry, of anybody saying that there's going to be more than one, God put a stop to it. Matthew chapter 17, 1 to 6. Turn your Bibles with me. Matthew 17, 1 to 6. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. What a wonderful event, eh? Verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. What an excitement that appeared. I know who gonna get excited? Peter. Peter gonna get very excited about this event, because he had never seen anything like this before, where Christ is transfigured. Allison, Elijah is there now. Allison is talking with Christ. Moses is there talking with Christ. All of these people are talking with Christ. So he got so excited. Verse 4. Read that for me, Brother Rokoi. Verse 4 of Matthew 17.
Then Peter answered and said to Jesus,
yes,
Lord, it is good for us to be here.
He was so happy. He says, good for us to be here. Yes.
If you wish.
Stop. The King James Version says, if thou wilt. Christ, if you wish, if it is your will. So that key word, you know, if thou wilt, is very important. Because if Christ wills in this instance, then we know that he's fine with different opinion, different denominations. He'll be fine with it. If thou wilt, if is your will, if you wish. That's what he's saying here. What is Peter suggesting, Rokoi? Read.
Let us make here 3 tabernacles.
How many?
3 tabernacles.
You remember now, before the foundation of the world, what the God of Peter, eh? Before the foundation of the world, God knew already that he's going to bring sinners from the power of darkness into how many bodies? One. He's going to destroy the two that was existing at the time, the Jews and the Gentiles. He broke down the middle wall of partition, and he made one. So how come Peter now going to talk about 3 tabernacles? Is that in the will of God? We want to see if that part of the will of God. So if Christ agrees with him, it's fine. We can then for our denominations. If God the Father agrees with him, it's fine. We can then have denominations. One belonging to Moses, one belonging to Elijah, because all three will be worshiping God, you know. It's not like the tabernacle of Moses worshiping Satan, you know. The tabernacle of Moses is going to worship God. The tabernacle of Elijah would be worshiping God. And the tabernacle of Jesus would be worshiping God. So all of them would be worshiping God. It's just like they would do it in 3 different ways. It would not be a sameness, but there would be a difference. Let us see if Christ and God agree with Peter's suggestion. Let us see if they agree. All you turn to your Bible for me. Let us see if they agree with Peter's suggestion. Verse 5. While he yet spake, Brother Bean, him never even finished talk. While he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son. We don't need a 3 tabernacle. This is my son, my beloved son, and I'm very pleased about him, in whom I am well what? Pleased. And who he must listen, whose voice he must listen to. Hear he what? Hear him and Elijah and Moses? Did it say that? Whose voice must we listen to? Hear he him. Is that what it says in your Bible? Yes. Hear Christ. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And it's after that they are the one fold. God himself said here, we don't need a church for Elijah. We don't need a church for Moses. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear he, him. Or your version put it, Rakoi? You have the new, you have a different version. How it put it?
It says, hear him.
It just says what? Hear him.
Hear him.
Hear who? Christ. Hear my voice. When you are teaching them, church, put this passage together with John 10:60. Don't be afraid of John 10:60. Because they like to use it, but they use it wrong. John 10:60, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. After they hear my voice, Oshin, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Become moving on one page, on everybody hearing my voice. If you hear another voice, that is a man's voice, because Apostle Paul said, whatever him learned never come from any man, sweetie. It comes from God. Whatever we hear must come from God. It can't come from man. That's why we are not in a man-made church. Because a man-made church now is a different voice you are hearing, producing a different fruit. Every seed produced after its own kind. Christ says, hear my voice. God says, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. You don't want another case study, Ocean, than that case study of Matthew 17 to destroy denominationalism. Because denominations don't even understand the error that they are making. They don't even begin to understand, because they're looking at church in a kind of superficial way. That they can just start a church, so. It don't work like that. It has never worked. It doesn't. Because this church is in the will of God. And it has been there before the foundation of the what? Before the foundation of the world. Christ is going to be explicit now and tell you. Christ is going to be explicit in Matthew chapter 16. Turn it for me. We all know the passage. And verse 18. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, because Peter had confessed that he was the Son of God, upon this rock, I, Christ, remember, now people can hear his voice. God tells us to hear him. Christ says, I, he didn't say I and Ellen G. White. Did he say that? He did not say I and Ellen G. White. He did not say I and the Pope. He did not say that. He just said I is going to do something. And that's before his ascension. I will what? Build. What is he going to build? Everybody turn your Bible to it. Matthew 16, 18. I will build my church. If you listen to my voice, you can get into the one fold. Remember, you know, John 10, 16. They shall hear my voice. The voice belongs to Christ. You get into the one church. He's saying here now, I will build my church. He did not say churches. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Thank you. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Only Christ can build his church. We are only starting congregations of the Lord's church. We cannot start another. Well, people can start any church they want, but they can't start the true church. And it's only in the true church that we can get what? To open our eyes, to turn from darkness to light, to turn from the power of Satan to God, to get forgiveness, to be a part of the inheritance. It's only available in the one body. The church, the one church, is in the will of God. That's our topic. It's a part of God's will from before the foundation of the world. Denominations have never been a part of God's will because denominations represent confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. He cannot be the author of confusion. So if you support denomination and say, everybody choose one order, that is confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. As we end the lesson, let us summarize. The lesson was not a part two of this morning. It's something that came out of this morning, where we saw this morning, though, that God wanted two groups of people to become one, Jews and Gentiles. The essence of the lesson tonight was to show that this has always been a part of God's will. It is in God's will that we have the one body. Because he says in Ephesians 1, he has chosen us before the foundation of the what? World. And he chose, and this was written to the Ephesians, you know, and they were formerly Gentiles. And he had chosen them. He did not give them a separate Gentile church. So all of them are chosen to be a part of the one church because he has reconciled both into one church. We have seen that Christ prayed for it because it's a part of the will. So he prayed for it in John 17, 22. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. We saw that it was on Christ's mind that he said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice. It's only when they hear his voice is possible to have the one fold. Because if you have a sheep that listens to a shepherd and go on his own way, that sheep will be in danger. Am I correct? The sheep must follow the shepherd. The sheep can't go around and go into a different fold and get himself in danger. The sheep must follow the shepherd. Truth is only by revelation. We can't just look and see different churches and say, okay, I born and see Baptist. It must be right because I born and see. No. Not because you born and see and observe it mean it's right. It's not right. We born and see people talk about Santa Claus. Is Santa Claus real? Not even real. But we born and see it. We born and see plenty of things that are not right. Plenty of things that are not right. But we know the truth through revelation. And we can only hear his voice through revelation. And that's how we become the one fold. We know that God is not in the will of God. Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Christ and Elijah and Moses were there, Peter asked him, if it is your will, if thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles. And he said, no. He stopped him right there and then. So we know that the one church is in the will of God. Please go and teach people that. The one church is in the will of God. Michael.